show is being sponsored by Once Upon a Time Travel Agency. Jim, Kim, and their staff are all Disney-trained travel agents who are able to make sure you get the best deals for whatever Disney destination you might have in mind. From Florida to California, France, Japan, or even a cruise, they will plan everything with you and then book it. And I save the best for last. The cost of the service is free, so stop by their page on Facebook or give them a call at 504-304-4904 and start planning your trip right now. If you mention that you heard them on our show, you will get a park touring guidebook of your choice when you book your trip. Once Upon a Time Travel, they make your Disney vacation magical.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 55 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, I'm so happy to let you know that we're finally back together again after our big trip to Walt Disney World. All four of us are here, and we're going to be talking a little bit about the meets that we had down there, and definitely a lot about the Food and Wine Festival. So, hi everybody, how's everyone doing?
Great, good to be here.
I'm fantastic.
Outstanding, you know, and it's one of those things where you start planning for that next trip, but let's relive what we did.
I definitely went through a good solid 2 weeks of post-Disney depression there.
Yes.
Right. Well, Jimmy was the first one to get down there, and he was the first one to get back. So he's been going over a little bit longer than we have. You surviving, Jimmy?
I'm good. I'm starting the beginning processes of planning that next trip, just like Sam said. And so that kind of quells the depression a little bit.
Now, Sam was down there with his family after we all left, too, so he had a couple extra days to do some exploring. And I'm sure we're going to hear a lot about it. What do you think, Sam?
Absolutely. I was able to spend a lot of time with you guys over Food and Wine, and then I got the other parks in with the family and just looking at what's new and the walls up at Animal Kingdom and the changes over at Studios. That's all for another show. But for now, we'll focus on the Food and Wine Festival.
Very cool. Well, so what we're going to do tonight is basically talk a little bit about the meets that we had, and then we're going to go into some of the food and wine things. We'll try to cover some of the things we really liked and maybe one or two things that we should probably stay away from. We had three meets, and I got to tell you, each and every one of them was an incredible time. The first meet was the Yeehaw Bob meet, which we did Thursday night. And I unfortunately got there for probably about the last four or five songs. But you know what? It really didn't matter. Never met these people before in real life, and it was awesome getting down there and shaking hands and giving hugs. And it just made that meet out of this world for me. How about you guys? You were there for the entire time. Bob had some really good songs that night, I heard.
He really did. It was a different set than I think I've ever heard, and I've seen him quite a few times. He's definitely incorporating more Disney songs in the sets, so that was pretty cool. I think my favorite, though, was Let's Go Fly a Kite.
I have to tell you, Ed, I walked in a little bit late. I got there, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 minutes, I don't know, an hour. I have no idea. I can't judge by the number of drinks on the table, but I...
That's because Jimmy and Sam were sitting there.
Right. I just let that go. I got there a little bit later, but I literally walked into Port Orleans Riverside, and I, you know, followed the sounds to Yeehaw Bob, and I walked up, and there were Sam and Jimmy and other people that were there with the Disney Nerds group, and then a few other people, but mostly the Disney Nerds podcast crew, just dancing and making complete fools of themselves, having an awesome time. And I was like, yes, this is exactly why we're down here. And it was so much fun to meet everybody and just to have a great night. It was a perfect kickoff to the weekend.
I don't know what the fools part.
I was going to say, I meant that with the utmost respect, of course.
I completely get it, and it's a great time. And to Jimmy's point, too, when he's doing Grim Grinning Ghosts and Yo-Ho, Yo-Ho, A Pirate's Life for Me, and mixing that in with the Phineas and Ferb theme and Let It Go from Frozen, there's just definitely a Disney flavor to Bob's set. And, of course, we got lots of audio and some video, and we'll share that with everyone later. But it was a great time to meet everyone. We had the seat waiting for you, Ed, before you showed up, and then I think there was some purple haze waiting for you, too. So.
Oh, yeah, no,
it was a great
perfect
night and a great start.
It was. It totally was. We met some great people that night that we would kind of keep meeting as the weekend went on, so it was really, really good start. Awesome. Which leads us to our second meet. We got together and had an Illuminations meet at Epcot on Friday night. It was really nice in that Epcot was open till 10 o'clock that night, so we had the extra hour in there just to walk around. And we met up with some of our friends around 9 o'clock. And although it didn't go quite as planned, what was the big deal that night, guys?
Thought it was going to rain.
Yep.
The weather was just, ugh. But there's not much you can do, right? When you plan something like this ahead, you got to roll with it.
I got to say, at one point, we thought it was going to be much worse than it ended up being, though. At one point, we thought we were really going to get drenched and, you know, it was going to storm, but it ended up being okay. I think we got a couple of drizzles, but it wasn't too bad.
Oh, sure. And in hindsight, that was, for my trip, the only rain that we got. So, perfect. If that was all, then that was that. There's no complaints on my side right there. What it did was made us relocate, though. And we lucked out, Sam and company. And you know what, Sam? I tell you what. You had the best helpers imaginable down there. I want you to kind of give a shout-out to those guys.
Absolutely. John and Nick, you guys absolutely rock. We appreciate all of your help. Kim, too, and helping us to get the spot inside Mexico, undercover, right up against the front. It was absolutely perfect. We were able to grab the seat and sort of took over the location, but we were out of the rain and Illuminations went off, and we even live streamed parts of that as we could. It's difficult based on the weather, but we still pulled it off. It was a great time, and thanks to everyone for the help.
The people sitting at the table behind us, you know, I think they were a little worried because we had that whole group and we kind of congregated right there, kind of close to the rail. But, you know, I'm pretty good at making friends, so I think I made friends pretty quick with them and kind of let the kids come up and get kind of in front of us. And so they were happy with that we, you know, even though we were there, we gave the kids a front row spot to watch the fireworks.
And the fireworks were great as always. It was a really exciting night, and we had a number of people show up, and it was pretty cool in that it was a little rainy, it was a long week, and people still made it out, so it was really fun. Now, the third meet we had was our scavenger hunt meet. That was on Saturday morning at the Fountain in Epcot, and that was pretty incredible. We were kind of worried as we were coming up to the time for the meet because we weren't really sure how many teams were going to make it over there. We were heading over from the boardwalk tour, and as we were coming around to where we could see the fountain itself, I couldn't tell you how psyched I was to see people actually waiting there for us to show up early.
It was amazing, Ed, to come around the corner and see all of the people waiting. Wow.
And by the time we started, I think I don't know how many people we had, but I mean, we ended up putting six teams together, which was more than I thought we would have had, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, you put together something like this and you hope people show up. I think we had a better turnout than what any of us anticipated, and it was so awesome to see all the people out there. They were all excited to be there. We had a couple of little kids, which was really cool. So it was, I mean, this is why we do it, right? It's for them. So, no doubt. Nice to see.
Now, Jen, you met a couple that were down there that had just heard about us the night before or that morning?
Yes. Yeah, they had heard about the event on Facebook that morning. They were locals, and they decided to show up. So that was a lot of fun.
Well, that's cool. I think those guys actually came in second, too.
They did.
And I have to say, one of my favorite moments, aside from just really the first 20 or 30 minutes where we got to meet each of the teams and each of the people and put faces to names from the Disney Nerds group and the podcast page on Facebook and meet new people. Besides that, I loved when the first place group came running back chanting, "Nerds, nerds, nerds, nerds." It was such an enthusiastic group, all of the teams, such an enthusiastic group of scavenger hunters. And we couldn't have asked for a better first official World Showcase scavenger hunt.
And the one, the team that won was actually, it was a group of locals with the Florida Plunge Group. So that was Scott Parker and his crew, and he was a big help in, you know, spreading the word about our meets and getting us some support. So I want to give a big shout out to him, and he does a really good job with his site, and his site is all about people who are taking the plunge and moving to Florida. So if any of our listeners are thinking about moving to Florida, definitely check out Taking the Florida Plunge on Facebook.
Just don't rub it in.
Seriously.
Right. Just don't mention it ever to us.
That's right. Especially throughout the winter, you might find yourself kicked out of the Facebook group if I have anything to say about it.
Right.
You know, you also have to shout out to Scott, because he was one of those that made it through the Illuminations meet. So thanks, bud, for being there, and can't wait to get back down there and see you guys again.
Yeah, he showed up, and he's like, he was there. He was a trooper. So it was really nice meeting him, and he's a fantastic guy, and we're glad to partner up with him, and hopefully we'll do something again in the future.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, the hunt itself was 123 points total, and Scott's group ended up getting 121 correct points. So they did exceptionally well. The second place group had 106 points. And I think they were...
better.
Death Fett or Debt Fett was the name of their group. It was Boba Fett was a tie-in, and so I'm not sure exactly what the rest of that meant. However, they did get 106 points, came in second. And out of the other four or five teams, there was only nobody really got less than 75 points. So everybody still had a pretty good time, I think. And so it was still fun. We also kind of conceded as far as when we totaled up the points. We let everybody go into that big long hallway over by Club Cool's back exit that's air conditioned. So we all kind of hung out in there. So when you listen to two shows ago, us giving the awards, you'll hear that echo of us being inside that room.
That was a great space to do it in, though.
Oh, no, that worked out perfect. I was psyched that it was nice and cool in there, too.
Nice and cool.
It was a hot day. Let's throw that out there.
Yes, it was.
A hot day. And then you got Club Cool right there, that while they were waiting to get the scores, you know, they could run into Club Cool, get a nice cold Beverly. There's restrooms right there. So it ended up being a nice place to kind of congregate and spend a little time.
I have to mention, we're sitting here saying it was hot, and this might be a nice segue into our conversation later, but these people were running throughout World Showcase. I mean, yeah. They were running every time we saw them. They were running back to us to get back on time, because there were a lot of hard questions, a lot of different things to go around. And World Showcase, if you've ever run around it for a scavenger hunt or a race, that place is big, bigger than you think it is. And we were... not running.
No, we were eating,
sitting and eating. So,
right, Maelstrom.
We need to talk about that. Yeah,
yeah, we will.
We're sitting here complaining it was hot. So, shout out to those of you who are running on that hot day.
Yep, no doubt, no doubt. I think we might have to supply waters next year.
I ran to craft beers. Come on.
Before we get off of the scavenger hunt, guys, I just want to say that if you want to check out what the scavenger hunt was about, or if you're on your way down to Walt Disney World and you have an afternoon to do something different, I posted it on the Disney Nerds Facebook group page. You'll see at the top there is a chance to look at different files in there, and at the top of it you'll see scavenger hunt final. That's a PDF you can download and print out and take with you. And good luck.
Hey, you know, if you're doing a trip with maybe a couple other family members, that'd be great to download and print out and maybe have a little competition.
I'm actually really excited too. My husband and I were the only two from our family that went down, and we actually didn't, of course, participate in the scavenger hunt, though we had seen it. I'm excited to kind of look for some of those things with my kids when we're down there in a little while.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that'll be fun. They'll help you out with the stamps on the Duffy the Bear.
That's right.
And you can find Justin the Beaver.
And his friends, by the way.
And his friends.
You know, and I have to say, before we get off of the subject of the scavenger hunt, huge, huge, huge shout out to Ed for pulling that off.
Definitely.
We're sitting here talking about it like it's the Disney Nerds, but in reality, right, it was Ed that put those questions together and pulled that whole thing together. It was absolutely wonderful. Everyone loved it. Ed, thanks for taking the initiative and getting it done for us.
Oh, great. Well, you're welcome, guys. And you had to put up with me for all that time, too, testing out all the different ideas. So you guys did your part. We can't go any further talking about Epcot without talking about food and wine. That, after all, was the driving force, I think, of most of us getting down there that weekend.
I was there to ride Maelstrom again. What are you talking about?
I thought you were there to see the new Chainsaw show.
Oh, yeah, that too. We got to talk. Yeah, we'll get to that.
I was there for a Disney Nerds podcast meet.
Hey, there we go. Nice.
Exactly. I was there for the craft beer booth.
Well, I tell you what. Yeah, let's talk about that right now, actually. One of the things.
It was a bonus.
It was a very, very impressive thing, the craft beer being in the Odyssey. I thought that was one of the most relaxing and pleasant ways to drink those flights of beer that I've come across in all the food and wine festivals. They had a really cool sit-down area with a lot of different either stand-up tables, or we ended up finding a big corner of sit-down couches, and we were able to kind of experiment with the different beers we bought. They had a really good snack mix that was kind of on the spicy side. You guys remember what that was? Was that like the rice cakes and stuff like that, or...
Oh, that was really good. Mm-hmm. No. I remember wasabi.
I just remember they gave it to me.
Wasabi peas were in there.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I don't know. It's really good.
And you guys, I thought Kim ate all the wasabi peas.
She might have.
She tried.
She did. We split all the stuff out of it. So okay. Yeah. She might have.
Did anyone have any of the food in there? There was food in craft beer.
No.
Yeah, there was food in there. There was like little mini muffalata rolls, and there were some little appetizers.
Yeah, oh, I said no, and... Actually,
you
we
ate the
did.
Food.
I'm pretty sure we had the food. Kim, so did Kim. Yeah, Kim had.
I do remember seeing food.
So,
the muffalata.
So,
I learned all about
trying that again.
That's right.
I did too.
Now that you guys lesson on muffalatas.
Kim and Jimmy got the muffalata pinwheels, and we're comparing them to authentic muffalata. And we tried the spicy pimento cheese dip, and it was very good, but not enough crackers to go with the dip.
No,
which is not a bad problem to have, because you can just eat cheese dip. So.
Right. Oh, it was better than no
spoon
food at all there.
Especially when the country of cheese is gone.
Yeah, I can't say I'm sad to see it go.
What? And you know what?
The country of cheese.
The country of cheese is gone. But guys, you look at the menus around the World Showcase, the different kiosks, there's probably like three or four that had big cheese plates.
Well, they did. You know.
So they kind of just spread it out.
I would run for president in the country of cheese.
You know, before we move on, craft beers, and we mentioned it briefly, it was in the Odyssey building. So I love the use of this facility. If you remember, right after Flower and Garden, this turned into the FIFA World Cup headquarters. And they had a very similar setup then, except they had lots of TVs with the FIFA Cup matches on.
I think it's fantastic.
I love using that space. It's absolutely perfect.
I completely agree. This is probably... It's either the fourth or fifth year in a row me and Kim have been down for food and wine, and usually the craft beer was like a truck right by the entrance to World Showcase, and you're outside. So to have it inside right there with both entrances open and two lines, they handled the crowds very well. And had little tables. You didn't necessarily have to sit, but there was places to sit. But there was also some tables kind of in the middle to stand at. It's probably a little more sociable when you share, walking around tables, trying different beers. I don't think there's a better location for it.
And there were also just different little touches along the wall where we were standing. There was like a mural that talked about different kinds of beers. You know, whether a pilsner or an ale or a lager, and what might change where they're from. So that was kind of neat, just to learn a little bit about what you were drinking, or just something to look at while you're in there as well. So just all these little touches that I thought was a really good use of the space.
It was interesting too, because, excuse me, a lot of the stuff I kind of can identify with different beers and stuff, because we do that a lot here at home. We buy, you know, a variety of different beers to try. But some of them, the descriptions were pretty neat, because they would tell you, you know, they would break it down more scientifically than I could. So it's almost like having a sommelier with wine, you know. I mean, it really gave you a good, oh, this is more of a hobby, you know. So it was pretty cool. Pretty cool just to walk around and read them.
Right. And that was the same wrap they had on the outside of it also. In the daytime, you could see where it's all, how do they make beers, the different types.
Oh, really?
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I didn't even pay attention to that, to be honest with you.
I'll tell you what was interesting about that wrap. To me, it reminded me of sort of the monorail wrap, because having seen it for the World Cup, it was very similar, just wall-to-wall flags of the countries. And it looked like they just took that down and put up the craft beer wrap. So if they can do that with this facility, start to think about what they can do with this place moving forward. I can't wait to see.
Yeah, I agree. It was a wasted space for a long time, so it's very nice to see them using it.
They reserved it for all those private events. So you're right, it's nice to have it open to the public. Okay, well, I tell you what, the way we're going to go food and wine, I think, is we're going to talk about some of our favorites as opposed to going stand to stand, because no matter how much you try or we tried in the time we were down there, I think we did miss some of the things we wanted to get to. However, we did hit a lot, and we definitely have some good things to talk about. One of the things that really stuck out for me, and this is the only kiosk I hit twice, was the Farm Fresh kiosk, the little stand, which was located right around between, I think, Norway and China, or around Norway and Mexico. And
by Norway.
Okay.
Right by the Norway vet restrooms. That's how I remember.
Yeah.
Your first stop right there, guys.
Well, the little covered, underneath.
Well, this is after we left craft beer and made our way that direction.
True. Well, anyway, the Yardbird was a must on my list beforehand, and it did not disappoint. We had it that day while we were waiting for our scavenger hunt people to come in, and I definitely made a second trip back to Epcot to go right to there and have that again. What they had with it also was a pepper bacon hash, which was an incredible hash. It was a little on the hot side, potatoes and the bacon and peppers and a whole bunch of other stuff, and both of those things were really cool. The one thing I didn't try there, which I had on my list, was the key lime wine, and I heard too many people say it was just that bad, so I didn't even waste my money.
Well, I tell you, I'm kind of upset that I wasn't there for your second trip there, so I could have ate your greens.
Oh, yeah. Well, here was the thing. The second trip, I had a huge piece of chicken and very little amount of greens. It was perfect.
Oh, then it worked out.
Yes, it did.
There was also a very good beer flight there. I probably enjoyed the beer flight there better than either one of the beer flights at the craft beer booth.
I just have to second the Yardbird. The Yardbird was amazing.
It was very, very good. And the hash was too. Both of them were very good.
I only had the hash, and I thought that was great.
You should have had Nicholas get the other one.
Got bacon on the hash and pickled jalapenos. That was good stuff.
Oh, the Yardbird was fantastic, dude. I'm telling you.
Yep, so definitely a thumbs up for there.
For both, both dishes were fantastic.
Or what should we call it? We call it a forks up. There you go. Make it foodie. Okay, Jimmy, give me one of your...
How many forks do you give Farm Fresh? Out of five forks?
Out of five forks, I give Farm Fresh 4.5 forks.
Yeah, 4.5. It can't really go to 5. I don't believe in that.
All right.
Well, especially if the wine was no good.
Yeah. You got to rate it. Overall, got it.
Well, and mostly I feel like I'd have to try all of the booths in order to decide whether anything was better, and I didn't quite make it, so.
Yeah, understood.
Well, not a matter of better, but just maybe better on your list of what you went through, what you had.
Sure.
But I can't argue with the 4.5 forks, because that was an outstanding booth.
Cool.
I think once again this year, I think I talked about it last year, but I think once again, I'm going to have to go with Brazil with the pork belly over the black beans with that little salsa that they put with it. Man, it was awesome. I mean, it was, oh, God, it was so good.
The pork belly that is really a big, thick hunk of bacon. Come on, that's great.
I mean, you think of it as a big piece of bacon, and I guess
that's what I ate.
But I mean, it kind of is. But it's not as probably cured and salty as a piece of bacon.
Yeah.
Because if you had a piece of bacon that thick, it'd be probably tough to eat. But it was a little bit salty. It did kind of have that flavor. But then the black beans were kind of earthy, and it kind of offset the pork belly. So it was fantastic. And the other thing there was they were like cheese cheese muffins or cheese biscuits or something like that. And they were pretty good as well.
Brazilian cheese bread.
Cheese bread. It was almost like a biscuit or a muffin, though.
That sounds good.
It was delicious. Kim got that, and she wouldn't share much.
It must have been really good then.
Yeah, right. She hardly give me any.
Right. Now, I tell you what, guys. The pork belly was probably my biggest disappointment of the weekend. I had heard so much about it. I'd seen people enjoying it, loving it. And how could you go wrong with basically a big, thick slab of bacon? However, it didn't jump out and make me want to get a second one. I didn't think that the bacon was flavorful enough. And what you were saying as far as it not being smoked or salted or whatever, okay, fine. And I was finding that I was having to have the bacon with the beans and the salsa at one time to make it kind of a really good meal or a good taste.
Well, isn't that what you're supposed to do?
It just seemed, well, I was really expecting more taste to be from that, from the pork belly.
Okay.
You know? But, I mean, 2 forks, 3 forks still, it's not like I would throw it away instead of eating it. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I just, again, it was a disappointment, I think, for me.
How many forks you give it, Sam?
Four.
Did you try the cheese bread?
Did not.
I'll
the pork belly.
I'll give it 4 forks. I think that's appropriate. I'll be honest with you, I kind of agree with you, Ed, that the dishes at the Farm Fresh place were more composed dishes versus, you know, really the, you know what I'm saying, just the pork belly over the black beans. I think a little more work went into those dishes at the Farm Fresh place, so I don't know if it's as good.
Oh, no, that's not it at all. I mean, they put a piece of chicken on top of the greens. That's nothing to it. Same with the beans.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah. Again, I thought it was going to be a much bacony flavor. I thought it was really going to stick out. And it could have been just the portion I got, which is just a reminder that, guys, you can go and get an item at one time and it'll taste totally different than another time just because it's either a different chef or it's a different time of the day or it's been out longer or less. So you got to kind of take these one-time tastes with a grain of salt.
Sure.
So anyway, let's move on. Jen, tell us what you liked over there.
One of the things I remember really loving that was new for me this year, it was from the New Zealand booth, and it was the lamb meatball with spicy tomato chutney. I wasn't actually planning on stopping until I saw some ones, and it was every bit as good as it looked. And that's one that I hadn't heard about before, so I'm anxious to see if any of you even stopped at New Zealand.
No, I didn't.
I didn't either.
I did not.
Yeah, it was excellent.
We're taking your word for it.
Probably one of my, probably not my favorite, but I was saving a couple because I know there are a few things that you guys will mention in a little while. If not, I'll eat my words and we'll come back to it. But I didn't think that one would come up. So that was definitely one of my favorite. It was the only thing we had there. So it's kind of difficult to give the whole booth a fork assessment. But that particular dish, I would give 3.5 forks.
Nice. Nice. Not a big lamb fan. Kind of throws me off, the whole smell of it, so I definitely stayed away from
lamb.
That. Oh, and for those who like, excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, I do too.
Very cool.
Next year, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's going to have to go on my list to try next year.
For the second annual weekend.
Right.
Okay, Sam, give us one of your favorites.
So many, right?
Sure.
I am headed to the place I went twice. Right? You guys might think I'm crazy, but I went to South Korea twice. Mm-hmm. Now, here's why. I noticed something in the center of the menu that I never saw before, which is the recommended pairings, which every one of the kiosks have. And it's basically where the chef is recommending a beverage and some type of a food item. So in this case, it was the kimchi dog and the grapefruit rice brew, or the rice beer. So the kimchi dog is a spicy mustard and like a coleslaw on top of it, which was really good, a little bit spicy. I liked it a lot. Now, it's a hot dog, but I loved it. Along with the rice brew, which is on the sweet side. So you had the spice, you had the sweet. I just thought they balanced incredibly, and I really loved that kimchi dog along with the rice brew. Thought it was great.
I didn't have the rice brew, but I agree that the kimchi dog is very, very good. At that particular boot, though, I prefer the lettuce wrap, the lettuce roll,
yep.
lettuce wrap. But it was pulled pork with the same kimchi slaw, but in a lettuce wrap, and it was that's the second time, maybe the third year I've had that there, and it's really good as well. Both of them are really good. Can't go wrong either way.
Right, and I kind of went the opposite way where I had the sparkling rice wine, the grapefruit stuff, and I thought that was really cool. I kind of made myself a list of things other than beer I wanted to try, and that was on it, and I was so happy I tried that. It was really good.
So it was like, almost like a grapefruit rice wine?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It was good.
Yeah, very cool. Refreshing.
They call it a brew. It's a sparkling brew, so it's somewhere between a wine and a beer.
And you know what I'm going to say? You know how we have all those different drinks that are not beers, but they're made by beer companies, like the margaritas and stuff like that?
Well, yeah, like the Smirnoffs and stuff like that.
I'm thinking it might be some type of brewing process that creates this grapefruit sparkling drink type of thing.
So on that topic, and this is one of my things that's probably not worth mentioning a whole booth, but Ed, you were talking about different beverages you wanted to try that weren't beers. Have you guys had and do you enjoy ice wine?
Yes.
Never had it.
Definitely.
I tried a couple, and I always the one I love in Canada, I got again this year, and I was anxious to see if you had any of that.
What is an ice wine?
It's a dessert wine, so it's super sweet, and it's literally served in like this miniature, everything's miniature at the Food and Wine Festival, but even in general, it's a dessert-sized glass. But at the Food and Wine Festival, it's like a wine glass-shaped shooter. Right. Yeah, it's like a little shot glass shaped like a wine glass. So I would say it's like an ounce and a half of wine. Super, super sweet. But it's produced when the grapes are... they're frozen on right. the vine, and they're fermented while they're frozen. Mm. It's most common in Canada. Like I'd say, I mean, I don't know what the percentage is, but a huge percentage of it comes from Canada. So you can always find it at the Canada booth. The couple that I had there were apple. I think that's a pretty common flavor, but if you don't like very, very sweet wine, you won't like it. But definitely something interesting to try, very different than anything else. Any other wines that you might have tried?
Something else that, you know, we found that was new there that I really enjoyed was a beer in Germany at the Little Cart. And it was a grapefruit beer, and it was delicious, especially when it was warm out, because it was almost refreshing.
Was that at the Brewer's Collection?
They may have had it there, but they definitely had it at the little pretzel cart right there by Germany.
Okay. Okay.
And all the spots in Germany had it, so it was.
Because I think the Brewer's Collection was right near there as
it
well.
May have had it. I don't think we did that one.
That was the only one we got a grapefruit beer there as well.
That's probably it then.
It was excellent.
Yeah, very good.
And actually, it kind of triggered a thought mentioning Germany. As we said before, and we're kind of talking about the beer sizes for this year's Food and Wine are just one size. They're the smaller beer. What was it, 6 ounce or even less than that? 4 ounce?
There's 6 ounces.
6 ounces.
6 ounces, yeah.
Okay, so what is still true, though, at Epcot is that any of the establishments that serve beer beforehand still serve you the full beers. So if you want to not have to keep buying small beers to drink them down, you can get a big beer between your tastings.
Yeah.
So and that's one of the reasons I went back to South Korea was to get the other half of the hot dog. And the rest of the
rest of the can of the wine.
Because because literally they'll open a can and pour half of it into a glass for you.
Yeah.
Now, I understand what they're doing, why they have to do it. At the end of the day, at first I thought, what are they doing to me? I can't get a whole beer. You can't get the four sizes that they had in previous years. Now it's just the sampler size. So what you used to get the flight in previous years, that's the size. But once you get used to it and you realize they're only $3 or $3.50 depending on the beer, you really do get the opportunity to sample a lot more.
Right.
So you can make those connections and do that recommended pairing. And you can do six of them without having, you know, had six 12-ounce beers. You only had
sure.
And so it took a little to get over it, but
and you can still go to the regular place and get a Yingling or a, you know, whatever, Kirin or – so you can still go to those
frozen
places.
Kirins. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, which I loved, and that's not Food and Wine, but there's a frozen Kirin in Japan at the regular store that's always there.
That's a myth.
Not just the top of it's frozen. But
right. We were so upset. We saw this frozen beer, and he put it down on the table, and the head was frozen, so it didn't move at all. But underneath of it, you couldn't see any bubbles coming up.
So
for a second there, I was thinking, solid ice? There's no way. And it was just really cold beer. But yeah, still, but frozen beer?
Hey, that's still great. That top. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, good. Awesome. Well, you know what? Let's go around with one more. I think we can kind of take the time for this show to do that. And I'm going to start with – or actually, I'm going to go to China. And the only reason I even tried this – this wasn't on my list beforehand, but Jimmy's wife Kim had this the time we went around looking for food. And it was the Mongolian beef on the steamed roll. And that was incredible. And it wasn't just because of how great it tasted. I think that because they have this special steamed roll, which is a really weird consistency, not like the normal bun, not like a normal roll or a piece of bread. It was more spongy and it was more, I can't even describe actually what
almost
it was.
Almost cake-like.
Yeah, I would say so. Or it almost reminds me of that plastic that molds to your fingers and then pops back type of stuff. But anyway, it tasted great. And it totally added to the taste of the Mongolian beef, which is really kind of cool.
Yep. I was laughing because, you know, I was thinking when you were saying that, I'm like thinking to myself, well, it's not the Mongolian beef that made it really good. It was the steamed roll.
Right. And that's what I remember the most. But the Mongolian beef wasn't bad. It was a little spicy too. And it was really, really good.
Yeah.
So I would recommend that. Four forks.
Four forks?
For that meal, yeah, for that choice. Jen, give us another choice. What else did you like?
Oh, I was trying to decide. All right, I will go with Singapore. I actually had both of the foods here, the lemongrass chicken curry, as well as the seared mahi-mahi with jasmine rice and singa sauce. And both were very good. We had the tiger beer, which we did not like, but I know a lot of people really love it. So to each their own. But both of the foods there were excellent and ones that we had not tried before. So
I love mahi. I didn't eat any.
Oh, me too.
I didn't even eat anything at that booth. But I mean, I love mahi. Anytime that's on the menu, I enjoy it.
Yes, I do too.
I've never had tiger beer. It's got to be one of the ones I haven't had.
We did not like it. And the singa sauce, we could not really kind of put our finger on what it was. They said it was just like a chili sauce, but it had more of kind of a spicy barbecue, but not like like an American barbecue sauce. I don't know. It was very different, but very, very good. So.
And what about the curry? What type of curry was it?
What do you mean, what type of curry?
some of them are more Asian, some of them are more kind of, you know, curry's kind of...
Oh, well, no, I mean, it was orange chicken curry, like, but it was not spicy at all, probably because you're going to appeal to the masses.
Sure.
But the lemongrass, like, it definitely had a lemon coconutty flavor.
Nice.
That kind of overtook it. So it was very good. If it were with a different beer, I would have given it 4.5 forks, but that's not their fault, so... I would go with four forks. Now that Ed brought us back around to the fork rankings.
Right. Okay, well, sounds good. Jimmy, give us another one.
I'm going to go with the biggest comeback place for me, and that was South Africa. Last year we tried some, and I don't remember the name of it, but I didn't like it. And then this year we tried the beef there. And it was with pap, which we looked up is almost like hominy or grits, or it's almost the consistency of grits. So it was really good. I enjoyed that one. It had a little spice to it, a little kick, and it was pretty delicious. I would give it 3.5 forks. Last year, I would have given it one fork. I didn't like the dish I got there at South Africa last year at all. So it was a big comeback.
Right. Well, that's good. That's why you keep on trying.
Absolutely.
When I go back next year, I'll definitely go hit Brazil again for some pork belly.
So for my last stop, I'm stopping two places. First, I'm going to Hawaii and getting a pork
slider. There it is.
Yeah, okay. That is on my list, too.
Absolutely love the pineapple chutney. The pineapple chutney and the spicy mayo absolutely makes the slider in Hawaii. Then right next to it, I'm going to sneak over to Scotland and get one of the scallops because I absolutely love the spinach cheddar. That it's perfect mix with the scallop. Get almost a cream spinach type flavor in there with the scallop. So it's a scallop and a pork slider to finish it off.
Well, and I was going to say, everyone raved about the pork slider, and I went against the grain and got the tuna poke, and it was outstanding.
Huh. Oh, good.
So
now I feel extra cheated.
Sounds like maybe Hawaii is a place not to be missed next
time. Hey, what's the drink you had from Puerto Rico, Sam?
From Puerto Rico? Oh, so now thank you for adding the third one.
It was like a coconut. It was something infused. It was like an infused rum.
It was a chilled club mango rum.
Mango rum.
Which was served neat, and it was very good. In fact, Puerto Rico is a new country this year.
I did. It was pretty awesome.
Right. And
it was good, and that was served neat, so it wasn't mixed with anything. That was right out of the bottle.
Right. Nice. And I tell you what, on a show down the road, we're going to talk about Puerto Rico a little bit more and some of the things Disney's doing now between Food and Wine and Flower and Garden. While we were sitting waiting for people in line, Sam and I and a couple other people were talking about the definite infusion of Flower and Garden that they have in there right now. For those that don't know, Puerto Rico is kind of off the beaten path of the pathway around Epcot. It's kind of like between or the shortcut that gets you over to Future World, to the Figment side of the park.
Imagination, yeah.
And so they have like a little pathway that leads you to the building that's by itself, and it's got a nice courtyard with a lot of plants and such. And it's definitely worth the while to visit that little area and kind of relax down there too.
Another big thing was just looking at that building, and Scotland was built like a castle. So they're almost going away from just those little stands to almost like a lot of those look like, you know, they have really nice facades on them, and they look different. You know, they look nicer than just a little booth.
Yeah.
There's definitely a greater scheme and a bigger plan happening here when you think about Food and Wine, Flower and Garden, and holidays around the world. There's definitely something bigger that's happening right in front of us, right?
Well, I mean, I agree. I mean, you look at how busy it was that Saturday we were there. I mean, you see why. I mean, this is, they really draw a lot of locals, and the Food and Wine's become a big deal, especially on the weekends.
Right. And just to fill in everybody where these three countries are, because it is kind of, based on this conversation, probably one of the hottest corners food-wise for the Food and Wine. As you're coming into World Showcase from Future World, if you go right, on the right side is Scotland, then Hawaii, then the pathway to Puerto Rico. So that, if you're going to have to decide which way to go, left or right, when it's early and there's no lines, I would say hang that right and hit those places first.
Because they definitely had the longest lines, like,
Once they fill up. Now, here's something else that really we didn't realize. When we were walking over from the boardwalk, this was about 10, 20, 10, 30, maybe about 20 of, it was open. Scotland was open already. So at 10:30, they were already serving the different foods they have in there and the beverages. So it doesn't
even though they don't open till 11, yeah.
Right. So World Showcase doesn't open till 11. However, those, because I guess it was close enough to Future World that people were wandering over anyway. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, definitely. Because there was no line there. And by the time, you know, we walked back over, which was probably, you know, 11:15 or whatever, there was definitely long lines there. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's unfortunate because it's one of those rules at Disney. If you see something you like, get it then, because you never know if you'll be able to get back to it. And that's so true with Food and Wine.
Being there a little later with the family, there's a couple of things that I want to point out real quickly. The weekends are absolutely crowded, especially later in the day. And I can also tell you that my kids didn't really enjoy the Food and Wine Festival all that much. Not as much as I did with you guys when we were down there.
Sure.
All of that said, if you get there a Tuesday or Wednesday at 10:30, 11 o'clock, there really are no lines. And you can get a lot done, call it your lunch, make your way through a few places. Even if you just get there and hit Scotland, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, maybe Canada, you can really do a lot in a little bit of time. Keep the kids busy with some KidCot. It definitely later in the day it gets busy, especially Friday and Saturday. So if you're planning a family trip, take that into account. You might not want to be trying to push a stroller around World Showcase on a Saturday night at 9:30 because it is very crowded.
Right. That was the only time I really felt sorry for our scavenger hunt participants, was trying to get through the park at about 1 o'clock, 1:30 or 12:30 when it was that crowded, but they all made it. Okay. Well, I tell you what, it's about that time. So before we end for this week, I want one of us, or was there anything that you guys saw or ate or tasted, drank, that you really would not recommend to somebody or actually say stay away from?
I had one, and it wasn't that it was so bad. It was really uncharacteristic. At the dessert and champagne booth, which I always expect to be my favorite, there is a Belgian chocolate seashell truffles on the menu. And I hadn't really done any, you know, much research or looked at anything on the menus really to prepare other than look at the list. And that sounded good. And it was less than $2. And I'm thinking, okay, well, it's probably going to be like one little chocolate truffle, but that's okay. It's less than $2. I'll try it. They handed me a cardboard box, shrink wrapped, of some box of chocolates that it looked like I could have got it at the dollar store. Like, I'm positive it was a better chocolate than that, but I can't even remember what it tasted like because it was so strange. You have these beautifully plated foods from all around the world because despite the size or the lines you wait in, they do a really nice job presentation and taste at all of these booths. Whether you like the item or not, they do a really nice job of representing the dish. Literally, somebody reached into a box and handed me a box that I had to unwrap and eat this one chocolate. It was actually a seahorse, not a seashell, which doesn't really matter. But I was so surprised. So it wasn't bad. It was chocolate. I'm sure it tasted fine. But spend your $2 elsewhere. That's all.
No, good. Yeah, I didn't even notice that one. I don't really stop at the champagne dessert, usually.
What I would have liked to try is the frozen s'mores, but I didn't get it. I should have gotten that instead.
Oh, yeah, regrets.
That's all right. Next year.
So we really had a fun time at Food and Wine, and of course we ate and drank a little bit more than what we were talking about tonight, and there might be a chance down the road that we'll talk a little bit more about this. We also want to talk about our mixology session, and we're going to save that for another show, too. So we had a really fun time at Food and Wine, guys, and there's so much more to talk about, and we don't have time this week, so I'm so sorry for that. We're going to get together next week and finish the conversation about Epcot and all the different changes that have gone on. Before we leave tonight, though, we put a question out to our Facebook group pages. We basically said that, hey, guys, we're recording tonight, and if you had any questions to ask us, throw them out there, or if you wanted any shout-outs, and we're going to mention you on the show. So, Jen, who do we have out there?
First, a quick hello to Rod Wheaton and Bobby Jones, who both said hi. So, hey, guys. And then we have a few great questions. Sam, I know that you can answer this one for Brett. He asked, well, you were at Disney a couple of weeks ago. Did you have a chance to see the new acts in Epcot, and what did you think of them? And I know that you saw at least one and have an opinion on it.
I saw your video.
Yes.
So the first thing, Brett, thanks for the question, man. YouTube.com/Sam's Disney Diary is the second ever performance of the Canadian Lumberjacks. I happened to be walking through Epcot with the family and asked the question, when's the Lumberjack show start? And the answer I got was, well, the first show's just over and the second one's about to start. So I scrambled to get cameras. I didn't have a tripod, but did my best. Needless to say, there's quite an opinion out there on the show. Obviously, this is on the stage where Off Kilter was. I can say the sound of chainsaws echoing around World Showcase isn't exactly what I'm used to hearing.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that.
Oh, my gosh. It's horrible.
Oh, man.
Think about how many times you've heard the notes of Off Kilter when you're over in China. Just because the wind's blowing your way and you hear that music and you look over across and you're like, hey, it's Off Kilter. I missed it this time, but I'm going to catch it the next show. Now you're going to hear chainsaws across the lake.
Well, or forget direct comparison. Think of the background music that we love throughout the entire Disney resort. And none of it includes chainsaws, but all right.
And from a distance, it sounds like three or four motorcycles running. It really doesn't even sound like chainsaw, right?
It'd be kind of like Lights, Motors, Action, but that's a different atmosphere. Wow,
yes,
interesting.
Very
interesting.
So here, we talked about this potential when Off Kilter was first announced that they were leaving. And one of the things I mentioned was there's a lot of room behind that stage, and it would be great to see them redo it. And they really didn't. They just took all the musical equipment off and came back with some lumberjack paraphernalia and some logs and cutting axes and have a show in the same venue, same place with no changes. You know, I really look at this and think, okay, the one thing I did notice, there were a lot of children watching the lumberjacks.
Okay.
And I think that's what Disney's after. Right, you had a lot of little guys in the front row, and they loved covering their ears up when the chainsaw started. That was kind of cool to see the kids there. But at the end of the day, couldn't Disney do the lumberjacks through the day and then Off Kilter at night? It really didn't do anything to the area.
Well,
I don't know. It's disappointing.
And to kind of in their defense, I actually have heard from somebody local that said they've seen the same group, that it's kind of a performing group as Disney tends to do with other things, that performs at like fairs and other events, and they have a longer form show that's supposed to be very entertaining that is not their show at the Canada Pavilion. So not only are these guys following Off Kilter, it sounds like maybe they're not even getting the best shot at doing it. So I don't know.
I say give it some time.
Yeah, interesting.
You have to give it some time. You're absolutely right.
Give it some time. Let them work it out. Let's check it out.
They're not even on the schedule yet, right? So they're not on the schedule yet. I just happened to walk by, and it was a soft open type of a thing. That said, to Jen's point, it seemed like something I could watch at the Ohio State Fair, which is a bad thing, but is that Disney?
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
We need to give it some time. But
if they have a really great show, let them do their full show. I mean, I don't know that I'm advocating for an hour long chainsaw show, but like, but maybe, I mean, whatever.
But if that's
their top notch product, then they need to let them do that. So I don't know. Really interesting. We'll see how it pans out. But I hadn't really thought about the chainsaw. Sounds very interesting. So we'll see how that goes. Beth asked, other than an invitation, are there other ways to have lunch at Be Our Guest restaurant? And I actually know the answer to this one. Do you guys have any? Have you eaten there? Do you have any feedback? Or do you just want me to go ahead and answer?
I've eaten there. So they have been, for a long time now, tested Fast Pass for Be Our Guest.
Right.
But an interesting thing here is that I've also heard recently that they were testing Fast Pass only for Be Our Guest. Similar to what they did with Toy Story a week or so ago. For a couple days, you couldn't go there unless you had a Fast Pass.
But to that point, you could actually go and get a paper Fast Pass, kind of like they did with Soarin', for some of those days, if you got there early enough.
Well, from what I understand with Be Our Guest, they're shutting it down about 4 o'clock, they close and turn over for the nighttime.
Right.
So about 2:30, from what I understand, there's a line of cast members there, and they won't let you even walk up.
Well, the last time we were there, you were able to walk up at about 10:30 and get a paper Fast Pass until those were gone. And it was Fast Pass only, but it was Fast Pass Plus or paper Fast Pass.
Okay.
But to Beth's question, other than an invitation, because the party line from Disney is, this is in testing, and in order to participate with FastPass Plus, you need an email invitation from the company. That said, there are company representatives that also give out a website that you can find very easily with Google and other search tools, where you can plug in your reservation number and get a FastPass if there is availability with your reservation number to Be Our Guest for lunch. So you don't necessarily have to have an invitation, Beth, but currently you do have to have a Fast Pass, if that makes sense. But as Jimmy's saying, it sounds like it's changing every few days, every week, every few weeks. So
and I have a client who's leaving Sunday who got a email just recently, last week, an email invitation for Fast Pass. And in hers, it said that they were testing a lunch character dining.
Interesting.
So.
And I'm curious about the emails. Really
interesting. Yeah, I didn't see the email, but she kind of read it to me, and it sounds like Beast may be lurking around for lunches.
Well, and I'm so curious about all this because now that it's becoming more public as time passes that you can get these invitations other ways or that you can get these fast passes other ways, people are getting invitations via email. And of course, with a lot of things, guest access passes, fast pass, other things, people who are getting invitations aren't finding any availability. So yep. I'm not sure what's going to happen with this.
We'll see.
As with a lot of these other fast pass test systems, it's not going off without a hitch, but it's all a test. So that's been the line. So.
It's all a test.
It's all a test. Yeah, the two-year magic band line. It's just in beta.
Yeah, I don't know if Disney knows exactly where it's going.
Exactly, yeah.
Real quick question for Be Our Guest restaurant for lunchtime. You could still just wait online to get a table, correct?
Not currently.
No, not currently.
So
they changed that.
At all?
No. Lunch or dinner. Dinner you haven't been able to for pretty much since it opened.
Right, you had to make a reservation.
But lunch has been a while, yeah.
Okay. So I have a little firsthand experience here, which I wasn't happy about. As you guys know, once you left, I had two rooms over at Pop Century and the family came down, which are two different reservations because you can't link two rooms to a single Magic Band, a whole nother story for another show. But one of the rooms got the email that they've been selected to participate in the Be Our Guest lunch. But I couldn't get a reservation for both rooms, only one of the rooms. So I had to let it go. Obviously, I was a little disappointed with that because there was some availability.
I was about to say, you let it go?
Talk about the Air Guest, not the. Well, maybe that's what they're doing. Did it snow in there?
You did say let it go. It does snow in there, as a matter of fact.
It does, actually.
I know.
Okay, now.
At the end of the day, it was disappointing.
Another question then. So you have to get a fast pass to go to Be Our Guest. If you have a party of four, do all four people have to have a fast pass for it or just one person?
Good point.
It typically shows up as the party. But as Sam is saying, it shows up as apparently one room, not just the party
It was attached to the reservation, and it had nothing to do with any other fast passes.
Okay, the question was, if could you have made the fast pass under anyone in that room, and then all of you show up?
Which points out another thing. If you don't stay on Disney property, are you not eating at Be Our Guest for lunch?
No, you're not. You're really not.
Yeah, you're not.
Because you're not going to get the email, I'm assuming, if you're not staying on property.
Right. And
you don't have a resort reservation. Now, you can go get the paper fast pass in the morning, I guess.
If they're still doing it, yeah.
If they're still doing it.
Although every day.
Right. And I would venture to guess that Sam couldn't have shown up with half of the room reserved and the other half not. Because when I've gotten as far as selecting a fast pass on that reservation system, for our upcoming trip, you have to put in the number in your party and you can go so far as pre-ordering your meal. And yeah. They know exactly who is coming and if you'd like, what they're eating. So if you say four people are coming, then four people are coming.
I'd bet if you showed up and argued it, I bet they'd let you in.
I bet so too. But I bet you would have to push a little bit. Exactly. I bet you'd have to push.
Yeah, I don't think you would just walk right in. Right. But I think if you argued a little bit and argued your point where we're in two different rooms, we got it for one room, we didn't get it for the other, blah, blah, blah. I guarantee, I have a strong feeling you would get in. I wouldn't.
Especially in your case, when you're a family, it's not like you're traveling with a bunch of different families. This is your children in your other room.
So here's the problem that I had, though. I got this late, like within 3 weeks of leaving for the trip. I already had my fast passes booked at the 60-day mark for my attractions. So I wasn't going to be in the Magic Kingdom any of the days that had availability.
The idea, though, is that it is 21 to 27 days is when they're sending out the availability. So
which
it's not
was when I got it, and it's after the FastPass days. Yep.
Yeah, so it either has to line up or you have to be willing to rearrange your schedule.
So here's something else that's interesting, just for the listeners. Sam's issue is, okay, so that's one problem, but if you have, say, two adults in four kids and you're booking two rooms at a value, it goes under one reservation number.
You have too
and
many
they
adults,
guarantee
Sam.
You'll have And you have, well, yeah, once you go to the third
age of when they consider kids to be adults.
No, right, no. once you go over to adults, they make you do a separate reservation. But it's designed where if you have two adults and, say, four kids, you can't stay in one room. You have to be in two. They put it under one reservation, and they guarantee you connecting rooms.
They did that for me.
So once you get the third adult, then you have to book the room separately under two separate reservations.
Got it.
Interesting. I'll be there
now,
someday.
Now, I will throw this. Here's the great part. This is changing almost every day. So everything that we're talking about might be completely wrong in 3 weeks or a month.
Right. Be wrong so, tomorrow. Probably wrong already.
Tomorrow, right. So, okay. Here's where you want to go. BeOurGuestLunch.Disney.Go.com. That is the latest of everything they're doing for the Be Our Guest Lunch. That's where you're going to find your best.
And if you have a problem with that site, go to www.samsdisneydiary.com and click Contact Us.
Yeah, which goes to Jimmy's email.
We have one more. Actually, we do have questions, but you know what? I'm going to have to say Keith White has questions that I do want to mention, but I want to get you guys thinking about them because these are show topics. So Keith is very good about giving the show topics. Start brainstorming. These are really good. All these questions were great, but these are not quick answers. Number one, in light of what is happening to Norway, what is your favorite World Showcase pavilion and why? See, each of us could talk hours on that show if we wanted to.
Sure.
Number two, if you could visit any Disney park overseas, which would it be? So excellent questions. Keith, I would love to talk about those tonight, but they're going to have to be probably whole shows. So thanks so much, everyone, for your questions.
Keith, we'll definitely dodge the question. Yeah, don't, because that's not the case at all. But great questions, you know.
Well, right.
It's not something we can just cover in just 2 minutes.
And if you don't forget, Keith helped us out with a show topic from probably about six shows ago.
Yeah, he's a great listener.
Definitely. Well, I tell you what, guys, that's it for this week. We've hit that time. And this was really great recapping all this. It was so fun. We're going to do this a lot, I think, in the next couple shows. We're also going to be throwing some interviews in there, so keep on listening. If you have any questions or if you have any comments on some of the things we talked about, send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. And if you want to stop by our Facebook page, The Disney Nerds Podcast, or we also have a group page, The Disney Nerds Group Page, on Facebook also. Stop by, leave a comment, leave a question. Maybe we'll get you on the next show. So thank you all for listening. Thank you, Jen, Sam, and Jimmy. And we're going to see everybody next week.
Baharini.
See ya.
Congaloosh.
Disney Nerds Podcast, we love you. Disney Nerds Podcast, we love you. Disney Nerds Podcast, it's true. Disney Nerds Podcast, we love you. Thank you so very, very much. Have a great night. All the best to everybody.